Doug Vaughn here to tell you about Bertarelli Cutlery. Now, I'm best known for two things, spitting red-hot sports takes and legendary culinary skills in the kitchen. I've been going to Bertarelli for all my kitchen tools for years. They have it all, knives, pots, pans, mixers, meat slicers, and all the gadgets and gizmos you could ever imagine. Bring in a set of knives with Bertarelli Cutlery's knife sharpening service, and in 30 minutes, your blades will be better than new. So shoot on down to Bertarelli Cutlery on the Hill or shop online at BertarelliCutlery.com.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on CBS Sports Radio 920, InsideSTL.com. And Doug, somebody complained. They don't want me to say 105.7 HD2. They want me to say 105.7 HD2. I don't know why that bothers people.
You say whatever you want to say.
That wouldn't bother me, but someone actually texted in saying that that bothers them.
Well, who was it?
Unless I can't remember.
Someone who owns the station.
No, it wasn't that person, whoever that is.
Well, otherwise, you don't let people tell you what to do.
That's true. But anyway, we have you here. You're Doug. Yeah. And also to your left is Jay Jr.
I saw him sitting over there. Hello, Jay.
How are you, Doug? Good to see you as always.
You came two-fisted.
I double-fisted today. Two coffees.
Sexy coffee.
Yes, because Chuck is tired.
So you're going to carry the load?
Well, I didn't say that. I just am having two coffees. But the first thing Chuck said is, guys, I'm tired.
More tired than normal. I don't know why.
Starbucks gives you a pretty good pick-me-up.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. I drink coffee all day. So.
I wish I could drink coffee.
Do you really?
Yeah, it looks good. It kind of smells.
You don't like the taste.
Smells good. Oh, it's like drinking hot paint.
Well, I put a little, I jazz it up a little.
What does a Starbucks coffee like that cost?
The one that I hold in my hand here, the flat white, is about a 5-spot.
$5.
$5.
Oh, my.
And this one, the Venti Americano, is about $3.
Well, maybe it's better I don't drink coffee.
I think you would do much better. I know I would do much better if I didn't drink coffee.
Once I get hooked on a drink, I mean, I'm all in.
Well, that Arnold Palmer.
I have to have it all day long.
Right.
What makes your coffee so damn sexy?
Yeah. I used to drink enough Diet Coke to feed an army.
How many did you drink a day?
As many as I could get my hands on.
Really?
I started in the morning, and I would have them all day long.
And when you stopped, did you feel different?
When I stopped, I felt like a heroin addict coming down off of addiction.
That bad?
For 2 weeks, I felt horrible. Horrible headaches.
Gotcha.
And then just like that, it was gone. And then I lost like 15 pounds after when I got off.
Well, you're a fit-looking man.
I'm not that fit. I'm just saying the Diet Coke makes you gain weight too.
Yeah.
Well, it is addicting.
Everything's addictive.
It's the nectar of the gods. There's nothing tastes better than a Diet Coke.
Really?
Nothing.
How about regular Coke?
Oh, I can't have one of those now.
Too sweet.
I'm off the soda completely at this point.
Well, good for you.
You're regular Coking.
I really don't drink soda / pop anymore. I drink a ton of coffee, but because we got here in the morning and it's free in the fridge, and it looks like the coffee that's in there has been there since last night.
Right.
So I don't want to mess with
that. That's bad. If I had to pay $5 every time I wanted a Starbucks coffee to feed an addiction, I'd go broke in a month.
You don't have to do it.
Well, I would because I get addicted to the drink that I like.
All right.
And now it's Arnold Palmer, which is mostly,
lemonade. Unsweet.
Yeah, the lemonade's not very good for you.
Well, it's a better drink. It's better than a Jack Daniels and Coke.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
How about this from the unnamed texting in saying, hearing Charlie's voice reminds me of angels singing.
Oh, that's a nice little sentiment.
I had never thought of that way.
But then his name is a word that I said yesterday in the show that I don't like saying, which is the T word.
Mm-hmm.
Another word for...
Cheese Farms?
No. It's another word for... Yes.
The T burglar.
Well, no. He says his name is the blank squirter. Another word I also didn't like.
The blank squirter.
I just said that in football,
yes,
whenever somebody fumbles the ball and the play-by-play guy or the color analyst says, the ball squirts out, I just feel like whenever you say the word squirt, it kind of has like a bodily function. Like that's the connotation in my mind. And I just feel like it makes you think of weird things.
Well, you need to get your mind out of the gutter then.
Yeah, I mean, clearly.
It's a very common word.
Yeah.
Nah.
The ball squirted out.
But I think a lot of people think of
squirting
stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm disappointed that your mind goes there whenever there's a fumble that squirts out.
I'm disappointed in you.
All right. Then.
Why?
Just because.
Okay. I do need to ask
it's
a question.
It's a big disappointment Tuesday.
I have not been able to listen or podcast like the Dickens.
Yeah.
Explain the tuna thing. What's going on?
It's the stupidest darn thing.
I'm seeing fan page people buying tuna sandwiches. I'm showing people saying, Doug, here's my tuna.
I had a little story at the San Jose airport.
Okay.
Where I ordered lunch, and then they sold me like a $5 soda, and I went to get the soda, and there was no ice. And I said, can I get my money back? There's no ice. I need ice and an ice tea.
You asked for your money back because they didn't have ice.
They didn't have ice. Yeah, okay. I didn't want a warm iced tea.
Right.
I said, there's no ice. Can I just have my money back? And with that, the woman behind the counter said, there's got to be ice. And she got up and left, took my cup, and walked down the concourse of the airport while other people were stacking up in line waiting
to pay
for it.
The lady working there.
Yes, the lady at the cashier.
Left her place of business.
Left her place of business and comes back 4 or 5 minutes later with my glass full of ice that apparently she had stolen from some other restaurant there at the airport. I don't know where she went, but she came back
she
with a glass.
She did get you the ice.
She got me the ice, yes, to her credit.
Right.
I didn't mean to cause such a scene, but apparently it did.
Clearly.
And they said, well, what did you order for lunch? And I said, I had a tuna fish sandwich. And so then we fast forward to a week ahead.
Right.
And somebody texts in that they saw me at Jimmy John's ordering a tuna fish sandwich. So the cat and Charlie said, oh, my God, you eat tuna fish every meal of your life. Ha, ha, ha. You always have anytime you ever eat it, it's tuna fish. Ha, ha. They thought it was the funniest damn thing they'd ever heard in their life.
Right.
So, no, we didn't. First of all, that's not true.
So, of course, the texters jumped on it. And so that's
where we're at now.
That's where we're at. Yeah.
Did you have tuna fish yesterday?
I have it like maybe once a month.
You sure?
Maybe once every 2 weeks, tops.
Not more than that.
No, that's about it.
I think what was the capper was the great emails by Cucky, his little story. I think there's another part, final edition today as well.
Yes.
Today you'll be able to hear that now with podcast, the email of the day, the last couple of days. They've been rather good.
Outstanding.
I didn't think, and God knows I love Cucky and I appreciate his work. I thought Cucky's emails last Thursday and Friday were two of the funniest emails that I've ever heard. But then yesterday, he continued with the tuna tale. I didn't think it was that funny yesterday. But still, it's hard, Doug, to be consistently great. He was 2 out of 3.
It's just not a very funny subject.
You eating tuna fish sandwich.
I had a tuna, yeah. I mean, what can you do? I don't get it.
Yeah. I do a little bit.
It's a stupid show topic. There was nothing to talk about. And you know what? It did its job, which was for 2 straight days, for 6 hours, it helped us. Whenever we had nothing to say, which is often,
right.
We went to the tuna thing, and it made the two shows go by quicker.
It's been a hit on the fan page, too.
Right, and a lot of people actually laughed about it because I got a lot of positive feedback. And a little negative, but I'd say it was 80-20 positive.
Okay. All right, but that's where that came from.
Thank you for letting me know. Mm-hmm. Because it had caught on and I had missed out why.
Well, yeah, you didn't miss much, Jay.
It's like I missed a lot.
And fellas, how about this? Back behind the glass, we have Peyton as usual. We have the Plowboy as usual. I'm told we have a new intern, and I'm told his name is Nolan Ryan.
That's awesome. Nolan Ryan.
Timmy really stepped up again, hadn't he? He must have had a good week in great. Vegas.
Now, where's the intern from? Plowsy? Is he allowed to speak?
Sure.
Yeah, the intern can speak. He looks thrilled to be here.
Looks like he could pitch a little bit.
Maybe.
How you doing?
Good,
what's
Nolan.
Up?
How you?
I can hardly hear that mic. Are you guys having trouble hearing that mic?
Yeah, it's a little low.
We can't hear that mic, Plowsy.
Pot it up.
Document that.
Pot it up. Somebody write that down.
Here's a different mic. Try that one. Oh, yes.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, done, Roland. What's your story, son?
I'm from St. Louis, and I go to school in Lewiston, Idaho, and I'm here for the summer.
Okay.
Now, nice.
You just don't drop Lewiston. You don't drop Lewiston, Idaho without asking. How did you wind up at Lewiston, Idaho? What school is there?
It's a school called Lewis Clark State. Not really sure how I got there at first, but I run cross country and track there. So that's
cool.
What kind of got
so
me
it was
out
for
there.
Athletics?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Now, did your parents intentionally name you after the pitcher, or did they just like the name Nolan and realize later that, oh, wait, there's a famous person named Nolan Ryan?
Well, that's actually my dad's favorite player. Oh. And it's a coincidence that his last name's Ryan, so he said if he ever has a boy, his name's going to be Nolan.
I like it.
Perfect.
That's well, welcome great. To the show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, no, the show's not great.
I don't know that I
Now,
that
Nolan, part. Did you know going in, did you know about the show, like a family member or a friend? Were they a fan or were you? Like, how'd you get involved?
I knew a guy that knew Ian Guthrie, I think is his name.
Old Guthrie.
And went to CMR, and then I looked up the show on my own and then liked the idea of it.
Huh. All right.
He's the guy that likes.
Well, welcome aboard, Nolan Ryan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. Doug, how about that?
Play well.
That's great.
We have all kinds of interns. We have Madison. We have Nolan. And
Tawny's done, right?
She's done.
Was Tawny, she was an intern as well?
Mm-hmm.
I believe she needed that as a last little credit hour, I think, to graduate.
Tawny
and
the
almost
old,
every day.
The white-collar gangster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's a little wild.
He is,
I'm
but
surprised.
He's
I don't really see the two of them together because she was the nicest, sweetest person you'd ever meet, and he's got a vile streak in him.
Yeah, but he means well. He's well intentioned. He just kind of jokes.
I don't know
around.
That the two go hand in hand. I don't know that you can be extremely vile and be well intentioned.
You take it as vile. While
well, you read some of this stuff?
I've heard some of it. I haven't read it. But, you know, don't be so judgmental.
Yeah, seriously, Doug.
Well, that's what our job is.
Oh, is it?
Judge the emails and, okay. and some
that's
of the
what
folks
the show's become,
write.
Just yes. judging emails.
Well.
And talking tuna.
See, I don't know that we need to talk a lot of tuna.
Okay. I just heard it was hot.
Stubby Applause texting in saying, now you need another intern named Robin Ventura so they can brawl.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
See what he did there.
Nolan, the real Nolan Ryan was a freak of nature. He was still throwing upper 90s when he was 47 years old.
Oh, country strong.
47.
Yeah, he was a freak of nature.
Never had arm problems.
I was going to say, was he ever injured?
I don't think so. I don't think he was. And he went a big part of his career just being a 500 pitcher.
Yep.
Because he walked as many as he struck out there for a while early in his career.
But when he was right, look out.
Oh, yeah. How many no-hitters he had? Like
seven, I believe.
Yeah.
And yet some people, Doug, will just remember him kind of taking a young Robin Ventura under his wing, stuffing him under his armpit, and just kind of knocking him on the head.
Yep. Not around here, son.
I don't think Ventura really wanted to charge the mound. He felt like it was part of the baseball code. He had to.
Right.
Oh, you threw at me. Okay, I guess I have to go charge a guy twice my age. That was a no-win situation for Robin Ventura.
Well,
if he runs out and he decks Nolan Ryan, it's how could you
how
do
could
that?
You hit the old man?
Right.
It wasn't, I agree with maybe it being a no win. It wasn't such a lose, though, that it turned out to be. Like, he could have at least gone out there, maybe pushed him, and then the dog pile comes, and
tackle
it's kind
him.
Of a it's kind of a tie. But he got beat down. Like, besides Rougned Odor cold-cocking Joey Bats in the mouth. Now, I don't think those Nolan Ryan punches necessarily hurt that much, because he was kind of just crown of the head.
Right.
But still, it just
to have a guy in that
right.
lock.
And it looked like a father taking his son after he had done something wrong and just kind of like scolding him. Like, go away, shoe fly.
Joe Roderick and I were interviewing Robin Ventura at a Super Bowl. And before the interview, Joe says, should I ask him about the Nolan Ryan thing? And I'm like, no, Joe. No, I don't think you ask Robin Ventura about that. If he makes light of it or something, then maybe go a little bit with it. But there was an ambitious kid that wanted to be in the business, Joe Roderick, that wanted to ask Robin Ventura. I said, no.
Well, that's the unfortunate thing for Ventura, who had a very
good career.
Major league career.
Had a great college career.
Yeah, and then a manager, and what people remember him for is getting hit in the head by Nolan Ryan.
That's how he's remembered.
And that hitting streak. At what, Oklahoma State?
Was it Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
59 games, 58 games?
I don't recall.
Something of that ilk.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug, Captain's Log, brought to you by Lakeview Resort, so you can head to Lake of the Ozarks this summer and stay at Lakeview. Tuna Fish Vaughn, maybe you'll enjoy fishing off one of their piers or the enclosed heated fishing dock. Now, you can't make fun of me or scold me for saying that because Lakeview wrote that into the copy. And if the sponsors want me to call you
read it.
Tuna Fish Vaughn, I read it.
Yeah.
They don't have any tuna down in Lake of the Ozarks.
We're not sure about that.
Well, I think it's a saltwater fish.
I feel like they've imported some, though, in there.
Well, I don't think they'd live through it.
I don't know that they'd live through
just
it
just for sport. No, these are these
in
particular
aquarium?
Tuna, they're very good at kind of manipulating to their new habitat and environment.
Okay, there's lots of tuna at Lake of the Ozarks. Okay.
Either way, located in Sunrise Beach, Lakeview Resort has been family-owned and operated for 70 years with lakefront lodging ranging from 1 to 7 bedrooms. Lakeview can handle groups of all sizes. For more info or to make reservations, check out lakeviewresortusa.com, the sponsor of the Captain's Log. At 7:45, we have the WWE recap with Larry Nickel, even though he's already on the phone now, which is
standing by.
More than 30 minutes early.
Just prepping.
Just prepping. 8:30, Ron Darling of the MLB Network of TBS and the Mets television analyst. 1986 World Series champ and author of Game 7, 1986, a new book that is available in bookstores, Doug. So we'll ask him about that. And at 9 o'clock, Rick Hummel, the Hall of Fame baseball reporter, of course, for the Post-Dispatch, talking Cardinals, and also maybe a little Muhammad Ali. He had a very good Muhammad Ali story that he told us Saturday night that we ran on the 2 Fox about interviewing Muhammad Ali. I believe it was 1977 before one of the Sphinx fights, and how he kind of got to sit down with Muhammad Ali, I think for like a half an hour. And after he did the interview, Muhammad Ali asked him for a favor, asked Kamish to do a favor for him.
What was that?
So we'll tell you about that.
Oh,
it's
that's
tease.
The tease. The tease.
Oh, nicely done.
You're going to have
Chuck.
To wait. You're going to have to wait
wow.
an hour and 41 minutes.
Now, will we be shocked and surprised at this?
I think it's a good story.
All right.
I don't think you'd be necessarily shocked and surprised. However,
Ali asked something of Hummel.
After Hummel did the interview, Muhammad Ali said something along the lines of, you know, I did a favor for you.
Right.
Now you do a favor for me.
Huh.
I bet it was send me a copy of the article that you write.
Well, it wasn't that.
You thought it was send me a copy
well,
of the
know.
Article.
I'm just trying to think what it might have been.
How often do you do an interview and the guy says, hey, can you get me the tape?
Well, this is the old days when it was everything wasn't on the internet.
Well, that's true.
And it used to happen all the time. Every time we do a feature story on somebody, they'd say, can you send me the copy of that? All the time.
And that was very annoying, wasn't it?
Well, it was
a process.
It wasn't as easy as you think that it would be.
Cut
it
involved
other people having to do it for you.
Ollie Roman.
Wait, he was never there when I was there.
And you would say, sure, I'll do that, but then you actually wouldn't follow up until they called you several times.
No,
and then you would feel obligated.
Kind of like the email prize of the day. You'll get it when it gets there.
It used to be we couldn't edit anything. You'd
right.
have to have a union editor
right.
to edit
I can
anything.
Remember that.
So
they'd have the edit room, and there they were.
Right,
yep.
So if somebody wanted a copy, I'd have to have somebody else would have to make him a copy. And
they'd have to take their time doing it.
Yes. You know.
The white-collar gangsta is actually texting in with a retort. You said he was vile, Doug. He says, Doug, my vileness is your fault because I just... I think you're cute, and your sex appeal drives me crazy. That's from the white-collar gangsta.
And you think you would accept that a little bit more than calling that vile.
You would think that a guy who fell in love with Tawny would not have eyes
feelings
for me
for you.
As well. Yeah, we're not exactly the same type.
I understand.
Or sex.
No.
Guys, I'm heading to the lake for a week's vacation. I'll try to land one of those tunas. Any thoughts on what type of bait I should use?
That's a great question.
I'd go with a purple plastic worm.
Okay.
I don't like to use real worms because, you know, I don't like to jam a hook through a worm's head.
Why do you not? You're trying to catch an animal.
I know. Yeah, I know.
You're trying to catch a tuna.
I just don't like to. It still kind of creeps me out to jam a hook through a
I don't like doing
worm.
It either. I usually, if I'm wealthy enough, I have a bobo that does that, that puts the hook on for me.
If you're wealthy enough.
If it depends on that
times,
time. Of,
the times come and go.
Right. They
based
certainly
on
do.
The way certain wagers went.
Just the way life goes.
Oh. You do a lot of fishing?
Not really.
And if you do, do you use live bait or just use some sort of
lure
that won't
I'm trying to think
juice out on you or anything?
Before last summer where I got to go to went down to Destin and did some deep sea fishing, which I had never done before. So you go out in the boat, they take you out, you know, for whatever, 4 or 5 hours in a morning, which was pretty fun. And yes, we used live bait, so you're catching some larger fish sometimes.
But isn't that chopped up fish?
Yes.
Catch any tuna?
It's not a live fish that you're jamming a hook through to serve as bait.
I feel like some of it was, but most of it, yes. Was
but they're also
chunks.
Helping on the boat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's not
and
just,
they needed to.
Yes.
Some of the hooks we were putting on were like huge. and double hooks
and
there.
In the ocean, you can pull some stuff back in the boat that ought not be there.
Yes.
Right.
Like
they
shacks.
They need to come with the clubs and start beating on the fish.
The big gloves
I've
that they wear.
That happen. You know.
Why do you think that the show or the station doesn't have a fishing event?
Oh, I mean, I don't think we'd want our listeners around hooks.
You think that's the problem?
Yeah.
I think maybe there should be some form of a fishing tournament.
Well, where would you fish around here? Lake St. Louis? Is the fishing any good in Lake St. Louis?
I don't know.
That's kind of a cool area, though.
Yeah, it's a nice area.
I really like that area.
Yeah, it's out there, but it's nice.
Yeah, it seems like it's out there. Give it another 15 years.
And it'll be next door.
It'll be the center of the area. Yeah, area, yeah.
I can remember when Chesterfield was far away.
Yeah.
There are people that fish in the man-made lake in Brentwood Forest. I don't know what they catch, and I'm guessing you have to throw it back.
And it's legal.
It is legal. Yep.
I did my time at the BF.
Yeah.
Nice spot.
You were at Brentwood Forest,
yeah,
too.
I did time at Brentwood Forest.
Did you show yourself off at the pool?
No. I was more of a pond guy.
You never went to the pool?
No, I don't think I ever went to the
Why?
Brentwood Forest. I don't know. I'm not a pool guy.
Charlie says it's quite the scene, quite
well,
the pony
sure
show.
I'm sure it is. Charlie's...
Well, I thought you might have ponied up there, saddled in and ponied up.
I would like to now. I'd like to be invisible
well,
there.
Well, why didn't you take advantage of it at the time?
I was pressed for time. I was having a family and growing and trying to learn and make my way in the world.
You were behaving yourself at the time.
I wouldn't go that far, but it probably wasn't a good scenario for me to go down and troll on some babes at the pool.
I see.
And also, Doug, the Zai Zai Iceman texting in, and he says everyone knows that you use pot pie bait to catch tuna.
Pot pie?
Pot pie was another...
That was another topic.
We kind of spun off tuna. We felt like tuna after like a show and a half. We kind of exhausted it, so we switched to pot pie.
Turkey, chicken, pot pie, which pot pie?
To me, tied for first.
Either would be
I'd
fine.
Have either.
Yeah.
Those. What was the brand of the little box ones?
I know what you're talking about.
Banquet? Stouffer?
Either Banquet or
Whichever one it was. My mom usually cooked a lot growing up, but every once in a while... When she was tired, we just do the pot pie thing. And I kind of looked forward to it. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of a whole meal right there in one little pot.
Stouffer's pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
And Doug, also, we have Larry Nickel on line one. We have Mike Lee on line two. Larry called first, but he's scheduled for 7:45. Yeah. I'll tell you what, let's go to Mike.
The All-Stars are lining up on the phone line, aren't they?
It is interesting. Right. And on the new phone line, when people call in, you can see where they're calling from. So on line two, you know what it says?
What?
It says Steak and Shake.
It does it really?
That's exactly what it says. It says Steak and Shake R.
Is it work
What's
already?
The R stand for, Plowsy? I don't know, but we'll
restaurant.
Find out.
Steak and Shake
Probably,
restaurant.
Yeah. Good morning, Mike. What's the R stand for?
I don't know.
No.
All right.
You're at work already this morning?
No, come here, get some to eat.
You came?
Come here, get some meat, and I drink Starbucks coffee.
Nice.
Is the place even open at 7 in the morning?
Well, they're open 24 hours.
Oh, they are? Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Right. They're open 24 hours.
Well, what do you do? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And Saturday, them girl comes speaking and says, it's Mike Lee again.
Really?
What
was her name?
Lisa.
Lisa, all right.
Where are you at right now, Mike?
She came here drive through and said, Mike Lee, know my name. I can't believe a lot of people know my name.
Yeah. Oh, I can. You're a popular fella.
You sound like you're in the basement or something. And who just
I can't believe they know my name.
Yeah, well, who just came in there? I heard the door swing open.
I think he's in the bathroom.
I went outside.
Oh, now you're outdoors.
One of the cooks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we hear you a little better now.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Hey, that's weird. Everybody know my name in there.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's because you call here all the time.
And I was on your radio station last night, too.
Where you called here again last evening.
They put me on last night.
All right, do you have any interesting things to say?
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
I drink Starbucks, make my ass suck.
Put him down!
What?
Put him down!
Hold on.
You white kiss my ass.
Put him down!
Whoa!
Put him down!
Come on now.
I'm sorry about that, Doug.
Yeah.
I was late to it. It's
Mike
this new system
Lee
here.
Has been suspended. Mike Lee has been suspended a period of 2 days' time.
But we'll still call tomorrow.
And his name is going into the Llewellyn's Pub suspension log. Jay, do you know about Redbird Summer Sweeps?
I have heard about it, but I'd like to hear again.
Well, I'll tell you. Llewellyn Summer Sweeps is in full swing now, brother. Mm. Now through Labor Day, come into any of Llewellyn's six locations. Order the special of the day. You got to order the special of the day. Then you have a chance to win a trip to spring training along with 11 other amazing prizes. That's all you do. Go into Llewellyn's.
And you can go
be
going to spring training.
Yeah, with us. You're going to have to go with us.
Right.
Second prize is a trip to Louisville for a distillery tour. Third prize, VIP tour of Anheuser-Busch for 25 guests. So the more you go to Llewellyn's and order that special, the more chances you have to win. Check
and
them out at llewellynspub.com.
They sponsor the log mule.
That's right. Okay. The suspension log mule in particular.
Right, I understand.
Text line, Charlie, is the main pool or the west pool better at Brentwood Forest? You have the main pool, which is the fun pool. The other pool is kind of the quieter pool for people who don't, they just want to relax.
Serious swimmers.
I believe that's people only, that's only on the weekends, Doug. I believe that one's open, just so you know.
It's just a weekend pool.
The second one, yes.
Got you. And where's that located? Is that in the back?
No, it's on the same street. It's on Renwood. They're
right.
Probably about, Doug, maybe a football field apart.
All right. Now, when you go to the pool, do you actually swim?
I wouldn't say I swim laps, but I'll get in every once in a while when it's hot.
You don't just start doing like the freestyle and doing like a 400 individual medley relay?
I don't do that.
I used to do that with you to do the relay.
For exercise, but I think it's kind of odd. Like at the Brentwood Forest pool, if you put on goggles and you start
doing the butterfly,
doing your.
Let's just don't put on the goggles.
What's the guy's name? What was the swimmer that won all the gold medals?
Michael Phelps.
Yeah. Yeah, I hardly ever swim either. I just get in and kind of bob up and down.
Just jump up and down and
get out.
That's
all we do.
Right.
I should swim. It's a great exercise.
Well, I bet there are a lot of good-looking things over at the Brentwood Forest Pool.
There are.
Yeah.
And walking around and all that. I will say, though, and I haven't really gone on the weekends that much for the pool. I usually go during the weekday, and it's very tame.
Yes.
Just people hanging out. You got older people, Doug. You got younger people.
But during the weekend, what? Katie bar the door?
Unlike Donkey Kong.
Ah.
Except for the fact that they changed the rule. You used to be able to drink alcohol the second that thing opened, which I think was around 9 or 10 in the morning. It still opens at an earlier time, but you can't have alcohol till 2 p.m. So that's quelled a lot of the all-day...
Can't have alcohol till 2.
Can't have alcohol till 2. And that's the way they've kind of neutralized the real partying.
It got too crazy, did it?
Apparently. Mm. But, fellas, we have Larry Nickel on line one. Let's get to him early.
All right.
Because we have a lot to...
get to.
We have a lot to cover.
Yeah, it feels like
Some news with Colton Wong that we'll break down. But first, we'll break down some WWE that none of us watched by joining Larry Nickel on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, man?
Not much. I had a good weekend.
What'd you do?
He had his birthday party. Right?
Yeah, I celebrated all weekend.
I saw Saturday. Was it Saturday, KKD and some other people?
Yeah, KDK was at Fast Eddie's Saturday.
Nice.
Yes, it was nice.
Okay, and what else did you do for your birthday, Larry?
Well, on my actual birthday, which was Sunday,
okay,
I spent it with my mom. And then, of course, I went down to downtown Alton and hit the bar there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, anything happened there that we need to know about?
All it was party like it was 1999.
Really?
No. Attaboy.
I like it.
You had a few beverages, did you?
R.I.P. Prince, by the way. I believe today was his birthday, and he would have been 58, I'm pretty sure.
Good knowledge by you.
I just heard it on the Elvis Duran show as I was driving in.
Boy, 2016 has been a horrible year for losing celebrities.
How about that, Larry?
You're like Kimbo Slice.
Yeah, I know another one. Yeah.
Did you ever meet Kimbo?
No.
Doug did.
Yeah. We had our picture taken with him a few months ago. It wasn't that long ago. It was
no,
fall,
it was less
it?
Than a year.
Yeah, he was here to fight.
Yeah.
Was that his last fight?
I think that...
Because I read that his last fight, whatever the you know, not UFC, if it's Strikeforce, but they said that, you know, his last fight was Strikeforce blank. And I can remember him being here. You know, everything just kind of goes together. I don't know if that was 8 months ago or 2 months ago. I mean, it was within the last year, for
yeah.
sure. I know we were at the previous... building, correct?
Right.
How long have you been here?
This says he last fought in February.
Bellator. How long have we been in this building?
2 months.
Something
sea
like
monster?
That.
Want to help?
Ish. Well, either way, Larry, we're going to break down the wrestling program, so we're going to start with the open.
Okay.
This is WWE superstar Daniel Bryan. It's now time for your WWE wrestling recap with our CBS Sports 920 Wrestling Insider, Larry Nickel, brought to you by Jim Hayes Enterprises on the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 920 and InsideSTL.com.
Yes! 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 Yes!
There we go. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a clip. I missed the program. You fellas?
I missed it.
Doug? I missed the program this week, Chuck. I've missed it every week for like 30 years now.
Okay. One of these days, you'll get that remedied.
But the beauty is, if you miss it, here it is.
Yeah.
And that's the point of it, really, that Larry catches us up in a small amount of time, so you don't have to watch the two-hour program. So first, we'll play a clip.
Because I had a plan. And that plan was to get in the ring with you, shake your hand, look you right in the eyes, and punch you right in the face. And it worked to perfection.
I see a man who worked 2 decades to try to make it on the grandest stage of them all, and then finally was a surprise entry in the Royal Rumble and did nothing. And then was gifted an opportunity at the WWE Championship and failed. And then failed again. And instead of being a real man, shaking it off, dusting it off, and getting right back in the action, you started to second guess yourself. Because every one of the little cronies you've been surrounding yourself for the last 20 years have been saying, you're God's gift to sports entertainment. But you get here and you're a bust. So you look to the one guy you think you can take me out, it's going to save your ass. You can walk around these halls with your head held high and say, I belong here. Dude, that's not phenomenal. That's freaking desperate.
Wow. Now, Larry, I don't watch much wrestling, but I can tell that that's John Cena, right?
Yeah, that was John Cena. And the other guy was AJ Styles, who was in Ring of Honor and TNA Wrestling before he came to WWE.
Okay. So what basically caused this this kind of
rift
between the two of them?
Mm-hmm. Well, on the Memorial Day episode of Raw, AJ Styles comes out, shaking like he said in the clip, shook his hand, looking straight in the eye, then, of course, punched him in the face.
Seems mean-spirited. So
yeah, and then they're going to have a match at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Okay. Do you think it's possible that some of this feud was written in by the writers just to try to boost sales for this pay-per-view coming up?
Doug, don't get me started, please.
All right.
What do you mean, Doug?
Could well have been a coincidence, I guess.
Huh.
Anything else happened on the program last night of note, Larry?
Well, of course, Charlotte, who is the daughter of the 16-time World Heavyweight Champion and 2-time Hall of Famer, Ric Flair.
Woo.
Now, why is he in the Hall of Fame twice?
He went in once by himself.
A horseman.
Then he went in a second time with the 4 horsemen.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right.
But anyway, she was out in the ring. She was trying to apologize for what she did. She kicked her father to the curb. But it was only professionally, not personally.
Okay.
Now all of a sudden, Natalya and the Irish laugh kicker, Becky Lynch, came out. They talked for a little bit, and all heck broke loose.
Didn't really.
Well, that's crazy.
Probably leading up to yet another event at this upcoming pay-per-view.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I thought it might.
For my regulation, I'm going to go on record and saying there's probably going to be a match for the Women's Championship with Charlotte against either Natalya or Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
And Becky Lynch is the Irish last kicker.
Yeah.
Okay. Who do you like in that one, Larry?
Paul Thome.
Okay. Well, all right then. That seems like that's the end of the of your report, or is there more that we need to
know? Got the countries. We got the five countries.
Oh.
Yeah, you went to five countries now?
Unless you have anything else.
Well, of course. Okay, let's do the five countries.
Okay,
it's like pulling teeth today, Larry.
Let's start with number five.
Okay, number five, South Korea.
South Korea, okay.
Right. Number four, Russia.
Okay.
Number three, Jerusalem.
All right. City.
Shut up, Doug.
All right.
Yeah, be quiet, Doug.
Yeah, palm down.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Good work.
Number two, Israel.
All right.
And of course, number one, United States of America. All right.
Well done, Larry.
Thank you. And Charlie?
Yes.
You said Mike Lee was calling from Steak and Shake R?
Yes.
The R stands for restaurant.
Oh, yes. Thanks, buddy.
That's what I thought.
Yours says cell phone ill for cell phone Illinois.
Right.
All right. Well, Larry, we really appreciate the report. It was a great one
and
a great ranking, and we love you, buddy.
Yeah, I love you guys. God bless. CBS Sports 105.7 HD2, 920 AM, and SciFKR.com. God bless the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And, of course, God bless America.
Yes, absolutely. The great Larry Nickel joining us on
Nixie.
Appliance Discounter phone lines, Doug. Doug, you and caller Adam ought to go on a float trip this summer.
Well, I'm kind of busy.
You're pressed.
What I'm doing, but I'll find something.
You should go to Garrison's River Resort in Steelville.
I'd like to go there, but not with caller Adam.
Oh, you can go with the family. Maybe a family reunion.
Yeah, that's an idea.
You should take John Vaughn on a little adventure.
A father-son.
I just wish they had a ranch house there.
They do, actually. It's funny you mentioned that, because you can rest comfortably in a ranch house, or if you want to have a big party, you can sleep a larger group in the bunkhouse.
That's hot.
Okay.
And if you don't feel like packing a bunch of food and supplies, check out the barbecue splash package and let them do the cooking. If you make your reservations at Garrison's 2 weeks in advance, you'll receive 20% off when mentioning CBS Sports Radio. Book online at www.garrisonscanoe.com or give them a call, 1-800-367-8945. Some, I don't want to say shocking, because we talked about this yesterday. I do think it was a bit surprising, at least I do. The news yesterday, with Johnny Peralta being activated today, we all think that's going to happen. Seems like it will, unless something crazy happens. Colton Wong sent down to the minors. And we were talking about this on the show yesterday when we were at Ryan Kelly's headquarters in Brentwood. And the cat threw out there, he thought it was going to be Jeremy Hazelbaker. And I agreed with him. And it was only because of the fact that Colton Wong had just signed the five-year, $25.5 million contract extension, you know, a couple months ago in spring training. And usually, when you pay a guy like that, you don't send him down to the minors, or at least this quickly. We've seen Carl Crawford got DFA'd the other day, but he's been struggling for years, making $20 million a year for the Dodgers. But I was surprised that Colton Wong, a guy who you invest in his future. Now, obviously, he wasn't playing too well this year, hitting .222, but Colton Wong sent down to Memphis.
Yeah, I was surprised, too. It's the move that makes sense.
Absolutely.
It makes more sense than anything else.
It makes sense, but it's also the move that, even though it makes sense, you see a lot of teams not pull the trigger on this type of move. It's usually the guy like the Greg Garcia who goes up and down, even if he's playing well.
I'm not surprised that it wasn't Hazelbaker, because he's the left-handed equivalent of Grichik and a good defensive outfielder that they're using on a somewhat regular basis towards the end of games to sub out for Holiday or to play center when Grichik is not there. They had an overload of the middle infielder types between Wong and Jerko and Garcia and Peralta and Diaz and Carpenter. I mean, you can't just have a whole bench full of middle infielders. But I am surprised, based on his contract alone, that they would say, yeah, this is not going well. Let's cut our losses here and see if we can do something else. Because there's not a lot of teams that put guys making with a $25 million five-year contract sitting in the minor leagues.
Well, I think they're frustrated. I mean, I think they're trying now to get him kick-started some way. The thought of him maybe playing every day as opposed to every other day or every couple of days, they think maybe that will be a difference. I don't know. He certainly hasn't performed, and you wouldn't think a guy making $25.5 million would be playing in Memphis, Tennessee.
No. No, but when they can put Peralta, Diaz, and Carpenter there in those three spots, that's a pretty good offensive punch.
Sure it is.
And it's not like Wong is tearing it up defensively either. Occasionally he makes a spectacular play, but he boots a lot of routine plays. Yeah. There's just when you hit what he was hitting with no power, you just can't put him in the lineup forever.
And maybe I'm wrong on this. I was listening to Matt Carpenter talk about this pending shift, and he's already been taking grounders at second base. And he said he really likes playing second base. He said he likes that position, and he likes being a guy that can play multiple positions and basically just being a baseball player that moves all around. And some people are saying, okay, maybe Matt Carpenter makes more sense at first. But to me, when you have an offensive player like Matt Carpenter, and you can put him at a position like second, where you normally don't have a plus-plus offensive player, I mean, that's a real nice thing to have.
Sure.
And right now you have Matt Adams and Brandon Moss both swinging the bat.
Yeah,
you want those guys in there at first base. I mean, I could see Matt Carpenter playing almost every game at second base.
Yeah, I think he will. I mean, who could argue that they'd rather have Colton Wong in the lineup than Matt Adams or Brandon Moss?
Nobody.
Yeah, you can't make the argument that Carpenter needs to be at first base. No way. He was an all-star at second base, wasn't he, 1 year?
He was an all-star at third base.
Yeah.
It's just disappointing because it seemed like the future looked pretty. And we'll see. Maybe it'll work out. I mean, they sent him back in 2014 back down. He hit .344 while he was there. Came back, started hitting better. But you just thought that Wong was going to be a little bit more consistent, both at the dish and even with the glove.
I think it's interesting, too. We talk a lot about some of the contracts the Cardinals give to the younger guys before they hit free agency. And a lot of times, it ends up being really beneficial for the club. I mean, you go back to the Albert Pujols deal. That may go down as the greatest contract ever signed when you get the best 10 or 11 years of Albert Pujols for, I think it ended up being, about $10 million a year or whatever it was for that period of time. And Matt Carpenter. You signed Matt Carpenter to an extension right after he had his first big season.
Mm-hmm.
And even then you said, okay, you wondered, is that too much for a guy who's had pretty much one big season at that point? And now Matt Carpenter for the last two or three years has been one of the better players in all of baseball. And now that contract looks like an absolute steal for the Cardinals. But on the other side, and it's really early, Colton Wong could turn things around, but this deal doesn't look like it made much. It made sense at the time. But Colton Wong has struggled, and also a guy like Jaime Garcia, we saw him sign one of these contracts. And because of injury, there was also a couple lost years there. But it makes sense for the club to do this because you can lock up some of your players and really save some money on a couple of these free agent years.
Yeah,
because if Matt Carpenter hit free agency, I'm guessing it would be in the next year or two. He's been in the bigs for about, 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
You got to think he'd be a $20 million per year player at this point.
It's unbelievable.
And they've done that with others. They did that with Molina, I believe.
Yeah.
They did it with Alan Craig. They did it with several, and it looks like it's not working out with Colton Wong.
Doug, can I read this quote from Colton?
Sure.
This is in reference to Saturday when he had one hit at four bats. Felt like it could have been more. I line out to the third baseman, and then I hit a foul, and he makes a diving catch. Gosh dang it, said Wong. I just need some breaks right now. He gosh dang it.
You think maybe they clean that up for the paper?
I don't know. Maybe he's a gosh dang it kind of guy.
Well, he is a very nice guy. I'll give him that. He really is a stand-up type of guy.
What are you saying? He can't say.
I remember when he got picked off in the World Series and he was in tears afterwards. He stood right there in front of his locker and talked to anyone who wanted to come by. He's a stand-up type of guy, the kind of guy everybody likes.
Gosh dang.
You hope that he can turn it around. I don't know what he's got to do at this point to get back. It's going to be a lot. He'll have to hit a lot to get back because they're not going to move Carpenter. Peralta's going to be in the lineup almost every day. Diaz isn't going anywhere. You got Jed Jerko, who's a considerably better hitter than Colton Wong.
And you can't move Wong with that salary, I wouldn't think, and where he's at. I mean, unless you're going to eat a good part of it.
Yeah.
I do think, though, if Colton Wong can get back to what he was the last couple of years, and I'm not saying they're going to necessarily trade him, but I do think if he can prove that he's the Colton Wong, and he's only 25 years old, he did have, if you look up his numbers in 2014, 2015, basically two full years starting at second base, they're pretty good. He has an interesting, Doug, I know we don't like the word skill set,
not really.
But for a second baseman that can hit 10 to 15 home runs and has some power and also can steal. I think he had 20 stolen bases the one year and 15 the other. He does have some interesting tools that makes him worth that contract at second base if he can be out there playing like that.
I suppose. I don't think also you can ignore what Greg Garcia has done when he's in there. He's had almost 100 fewer at-bats than Wong, and he's got more home runs and the same number of RBIs. And he looks like a better hitter.
Well, this season. I agree
with
you.
Yeah, but I don't know how long that you can say, well, that he's just Greg Garcia, he's just a utility guy. You know, at some point, guys like this, if they keep producing, they're going to need a chance too. He deserves the same shot that they gave Wong.
Absolutely.
Because Wong was a first-round draft pick. That doesn't mean that he gets 5 years worth of chances if he doesn't deliver.
No, but he has delivered for a couple years.
He's a solid player,
Colton Wong was for two seasons.
Yeah, he has. He has. But the question is, how long can you go along with a guy if he doesn't if he's not producing?
And you got other guys that are ready to produce.
Yeah, you got other guys that are producing in crazy ways, like Diaz and Garcia.
I just wonder, too. I wonder how this is going to work because Colton Wong really has nothing to prove at the AAA level in the terms of he's been at Memphis before and he's had great success. I understand getting him down there to get at-bats on a regular basis, but like if he goes down there, I expect him to hit over 300 down there and do really well.
But what's that going to lead to?
That's my point, is if he comes back and there's no at-bats for him up here, he just doesn't strike me. And this is where, in the opposite of Greg Garcia, even though I think Colton Wong is more talented than Greg Garcia has also kind of grown up through the organization as being one of those grinders who knows he has to do everything he can, which Colton Wong now has to do as well. But Greg Garcia has proven to be a great pinch hitter. And Colton Wong, from what we've seen, it seems like he's a guy who needs to be out there on a regular basis to get at bats and get comfortable. And he's also said, you know, I've said it on the show many times, he's been very candid with the media with the fact that he really beats himself up when he's not having success.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he's a guy that needs to be out there every day, see some success, and kind of play 140, 150 games. I just don't see that happening with the Cardinals this year unless there's an injury.
You don't get that chance if you don't produce when you're there. I mean, he's gone, you know, 126 at-bats now, hitting .222 with a home run. You don't get to play every day.
And he did have a nice stretch. We were talking about this a couple weeks ago, I believe. You know, he was really struggling right out of the gate this year till about April 25th. And then there was about a month where he was like 15 for 45 at the plate. So he had turned it around. But then since the end of May, he really hit a tailspin again.
Well, I'm not sure what the Cardinals have coming up at third base. I think, is it Patrick Wisdom? Is he their big prospect at third base? Because some of this is going to depend on how that guy does, if you look ahead. They got one more year of Peralta after this.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think that'll probably be it for Peralta.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to make a decision where you want Carpenter to play, at either second or third, and that'll probably be based on who's coming up through the pipeline, whether it's Wong or Wisdom or somebody else that they might have to plug into third base.
And you're going
to
lock in Diaz at short.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's Yeah, I don't know how you could do anything else.
No, just keep it there. Keep it going.
Yeah. Right now, you'd have to say he's the best hitter they've got.
Yeah.
He or Carpenter. Piscotty in the conversation, but Diaz has got more home runs than these guys in fewer at bats. I mean, he's tearing the cover off the ball.
He's been tremendous.
Yeah.
He's changed up the whole situation of where they were headed with the infield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And don't you think too that because no one foresaw what Aledmys Diaz has done,
no.
Even the Cardinals, because let's be honest, they outed him off the 40-man roster last year, and he wasn't going to make the team at the beginning of this season. So no one saw this type of of performance and production coming, and you do wonder. If they thought Aledmys Diaz was going to be even close to this type of guy, you wonder, they probably don't extend Colton Wong in the offseason because it does kind of create a situation now. And I understand Diaz plays short, but it kind of retools the entire infield now as you shift Peralta to third and Carpenter to second. And if they thought, hey, Diaz is going to be our shortstop for the next 5 years.
Yeah, why would you pay that type of money?
I don't think you know. Maybe you wait another year to kind of see how things play out.
With Wong, yeah.
I don't think they even thought Diaz was going to make the team.
That's my point.
Out of spring training.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, they made him available to all teams when they didn't include him on the 40-man roster.
That is correct. Nobody picked him up.
So this is kind of coming out of the blue. They obviously saw something when they signed him.
Right, but not to
this
extent.
Then they didn't see much after they signed him.
No. And then all of a sudden he showed him.
Now he's an all-star caliber shortstop with the bat anyway.
Somebody texting in saying, I feel this is the Tyler Green conversation all over again. I do think, though, that Colton Wong has more production at the major league level than Tyler Green ever did. Tyler Green was the first-round pick as well, really athletic, had all the tools, always was really good at AAA.
But couldn't.
Came up and had, you know, he played up here, but he never was able to translate into that first-round pick type talent at the big league level. Colton Wong has been a pretty darn good player in the big leagues for a couple years.
Yeah, he has.
He has, but when you start hitting 220, I mean, that changes everything, especially when you got people that can hit better than that.
And remember, I think it was 2014, because Colton Wong was up all of last season. But 2014, after the World Series and the pickoff that we all remember, but Colton Wong was the second baseman to start, and remember, he really struggled that year and was sent down as well and went to Memphis.
And went crazy down there.
Came back and was pretty darn good for the Cardinals.
He's got that big leg kick as a hitter. You wonder if that doesn't mess with his timing a little bit. Makes it a little hard for him to get locked in and stay consistent.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of moving parts there with the swing.
You like a guy that's still at the dish?
Well,
quiet hands, quiet head.
You didn't like the Joe Morgan pump the...
Oh, that was
okay.
Yeah, if you're a Hall of Famer, you do whatever you want to do. But generally, most of the top hitters in the game are relatively quiet at the plate until they explode on the ball.
Some people like to have a trigger mechanism.
Some do, and some make it work. Yeah. Yeah. But if it doesn't work for you, then that's usually what's pointed to is there. There's the reason right there.
When you took Seaver deep.
Very quiet feet. Very quiet hands back.
I remember that.
Yeah, very quiet hands.
Think fastball, adjust curveball.
Well, all he was really throwing was room service fastballs, Charlie.
But still. But the whole thing with the leg kick, it's the old adage. If it's working, if you're hitting,
it's fine.
It's a timing mechanism.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're not hitting, it's a hitch.
It's worked for it's worked for Matt Holliday for a long time.
A lot of hitters now, it almost seems like so many baseball players, they don't really care as much if they strike out. The whole sabermetric thing where they just say an out's an out, it doesn't matter if you strike out 200 times a year, which I don't necessarily agree with, but you have a lot of hitters who just go for the downs, and they have a lot of movement in their swing. But the guys that are consistent and have a higher average and put the ball in play more, they do have the more quiet mechanics.
Pujols was the best we've seen lately for a guy who hit for maximum power and yet didn't strike out much.
Yeah.
And that's what was amazing watching Albert hit. And I know his average has dropped as he's gotten older, but he didn't have a ton of movement in his swing. He kind of just shifted his weight very subtly and was still able to hit 600 home runs.
Yeah.
And as Doug said, for the first 10 years of his career, hit about 330. That's what's so amazing about that. You have a lot of guys in that era that were hitting 40 bombs, but they were hitting 265.
Right.
Well, he was a once-in-a-generation type of player.
You think so? Let's go to the text line.
I think he's the second-best hitter maybe third. Third-best hitter the Cardinals have ever had. You'd probably say
Stan and then
Rogers Hornsby could make an argument that he was as good a hitter as Stan Musial,
right?
Based on hitting 403 times.
Different time. I mean,
I think it's hard. Yeah, it's hard to equate
that
era.
I don't care where you're playing. If you hit 426, you're hitting the line drive 8 out of 10 times at the plate.
I understand that, but
have you ever seen any old film of Rogers Hornsby? He looked like somebody playing today in the old black and white. He'd stood up there and took a swing, like kind of what you see today,
right?
Against these other pitchers that look like stick figures throwing fire and everything.
And the pitchers have a ball that's basically black. It's full of dirt, and they basically throw underhand, and they start 70 games a year, and they throw 190 pitches, and they're throwing probably 72.
Probably. They got a bat twice.
Yeah.
It is odd that, like, when you see guys that hit 430 back in the day, and some of them, they're not even putting their hands together
on the bat.
And they're kind of just slapping it.
On the wood.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of the game before Babe Ruth, was to slap it around and get on and steal bases and everything.
Doug, Bertarelli, they have Bertarelli cutlery and also Bertarelli paper. So you can get the paper needs. They have free local delivery, no minimum order. You have register paper, gloves, to-go containers. You have trash can liners, if you'd like. Huh. Then they have Bertarelli cutlery with a wide array of sharpening solutions for the professional kitchen. And you had, what was that one knife you did a commercial a while back?
Wusthof knife. Wusthof knife. Yeah. That's what I forage with when I'm in the woods.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you got the Wusthof, and you can check them out. You can visit
the
hill. When
was the last time you were in the woods? Just out of curiosity.
Boy.
Been a while.
I don't really remember my last time.
But the Wusthof was with you.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Oh, gosh, yeah. I would have never gone.
Never leave home without it.
Without it.
Without the Wusthof that you can purchase.
I try not to spend a lot of time in the woods.
Yeah.
But when I am there, when
you're
I find
domesticated.
Myself. There's basically, you can find me in one of two places, in the woods or outside of the woods. And when I'm in the woods, I'll have the Wusthof knife, and I'll have it sharpened at Bertarelli before I go.
Yeah, no business is too big or too small for their family service. The highest quality cutting boards on the market. And again, visit them on the hill and check out their showroom. It is Bertarelli Cutlery and also the Bertarelli Paper Company. We have some fun with audio coming up. We have Ron Darling of the MLB Network joining us at 8:30, talking some baseball. And 9 o'clock, Rick Hummel. Talking Cardinals as well, and again, that Muhammad Ali story that I teased that I think you guys will like. And also, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's the fact that they won 2 out of 3 from the Giants. You have the Reds coming up here. Reds are not very good. They're in last place. Can't you kind of feel a little like
I'm sore?
A little 8 out of 10 coming, something like that?
Here can't come
you,
the Redbirds.
Can't you feel the Cardinals making a little move here? Now, you do have the Pirates afterwards.
Doug?
That's a tough team.
I can feel them making the move because the starting pitching has kind of come together. Wainwright looks a whole lot better. Leak has looked a whole lot better. Rosenthal seems to have got his issue straightened out. Yeah, I can see him putting together a little streak here.
The Rosenthal thing, too, to me is just kind of weird because the issue seems to be basically just a non-save situation. I know that seems really odd, but when it's a save situation, he's unbelievable. And when it's not, for whatever reason, whether it's the adrenaline or just the situation he's going into, the numbers are totally different. But in save situations, he's really, really awesome again.
Right now, the Redbirds are a half game out of the playoffs. A half game.
And how many back of the Cubs are they?
Oh, well, that's kind
Ten-ish?
Of a non-issue. 10.5
gotcha.
Behind the Cubs. But just get in. We saw that one year where they went down to Atlanta and won the one game. But just get in. You can have a mediocre season like this, and you're still in the loop.
You get hot at the right time, and
yeah, that's what I love about the second wild card. It keeps so many teams in it. It keeps interest high for a whole lot of teams that otherwise would be out of it already.
Absolutely, and we'll have a lot of baseball talk coming up on the other side of the break. 2 more hours of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on CBS Sports Radio 920, InsideSTL.com, and 105.7 HD2.